coroner was here for. It was a truth that no one wanted to face.
They're taking him to Mercy. It's 20 minutes further, but he's stable and they are better equipped if he needs any surgery, Riker said.
He was stable. That made me cry harder.
Thank you. Once she's calm, we will drive that way, Mom replied.
I understand, he replied.
Riker, are Nash and Hagen okay?
A female voice called out.
Nash is, was his response.
Then I heard a car door close. His engine started and I stood there, slowly letting that sink in. He hadn't said Hagen was okay. Pulling back, I looked at the scene, now becoming clearer as the other ambulance left. The lights weren't on, but it had a body inside.
Oh my God, he didn't say Hagen was,
the girl screamed hysterically. I ignored her. That dramatic response was meant to draw attention to herself.
Do you think he's dead?
I asked my mother in a whisper. I hated even saying the words. She didn't look like she wanted to answer that.
I don't know.
The other ambulance left without their lights on, I pointed out.
We don't know about Mrs. Wise either, or if someone was in her car.
I saw a family standing together crying. An older man I recognized as the Baptist church minister held a woman and 3 young kids close as they all sobbed. He looked sad, broken. I didn't need to be told why. The scene was obvious, heartbreakingly so.
I don't think she lived, I said, the words heavy in my chest.
Me neither, Mom agreed. The family had lost someone today. Someone they loved very much. What if I had lost someone? What if that had been my mom's car?
Hagen Baylor is gone! No!
A girl wailed behind us. Others joined her.
Let me drive, Mom said as she took my arm and we walked back to her car. We can come get yours later.
I didn't want to drive right now, so I made no argument. Blakely was doubled over, sobbing in a group of friends. There had been no word on Hagen yet, but the town seemed to already believe he was gone. I remembered the night I met him at the game. He'd been annoying and full of himself, but he was important to a lot of people. He had a family, friends, fans, all of who would mourn him. A void would be left in his family's life, one that could never be filled. Tears filled my eyes again as I climbed into my mother's car, this time for the loved ones left behind.
Chapter 36. You have a crowd waiting on you out there. Nash. My mother paced in front of my bed, wringing her hands, and my dad sat in the chair beside the bed they had me lying on, with his elbows resting on his knees and his head hanging down, staring at the floor. I was alive. That had been the most important thing at first. But after, the doctor came in to inform us that I had tested positive for marijuana, and they expected the same from Hagen's evaluation. Mrs. Wise's husband could press charges. I was 18 now. We were all waiting for the hospital to release me. Dad had called a lawyer. I'd heard him talking to him. I hadn't been driving, so it sounded like it wouldn't be as severe as it could have been. They didn't know what to say to this. I could apologize for my stupidity, but those were words. They did no good. They didn't change anything. Hagen was dead. Mrs. Wise was dead. I had 6 stitches in my head, a broken arm, and some bruising and cuts. Nothing more. I'd walk out of here today. Life would go on. My parents were upset over the weed and the fact I could be prosecuted as an adult. I had just seen my friend die. Looked into his lifeless eyes. Saw a family grieving over a woman they loved. A woman they lost. I deserved whatever happened. I had lived. I wasn't worried about what they decided to do with me. I had made a mistake that had altered lives. There was a knock on the door and Riker stepped inside. "They gonna let you out of here anytime soon?" he asked. He didn't know about the weed yet. He probably had guessed it, though.
"Yes, soon,"
I told him. "You got a waiting room out there full of people. I told them you'd be getting out soon. No reason to come in here and visit. But Tallulah is out there with her mom. Thought you'd want to see her."
Tallulah.
The reason I'd smoked the weed. That motherfucking kiss. If I hadn't seen her kiss Coach D, I would have seen her tonight. I wouldn't have gotten messed up and Hagen would be alive. Mrs. Wise would be alive.
"I don't want to see her. She can go on home."
The words came out hard, angry. I felt all three pairs of eyes on me. I didn't meet any of them. I turned my heated glare to the window and wished I'd never met her, never kissed her, never spoken to her.
"You sure about that?" Riker asked, confused.
"Yes, I'm sure,"
I snarled.
"Well, all righty then."
He was confused, but he wasn't going to push me for a reason, at least not yet. The only other person who knew about the kiss she'd had with Coach D was gone. I held that information. No one else did. I had the power to hurt her and ruin him, but I wasn't sure I could do it. Not because I was concerned for him. It was her. She'd be humiliated. She'd be faced with legal issues and questions. She would get attention she didn't want.
"Give us a minute, Riker,"
my dad said, standing up. Riker nodded and went back out into the hallway. Once the door closed behind him, Dad cleared his throat to get my attention. I didn't want to talk, but I turned to him.
"The girl, is she into drugs? Is that how this got started?"
I laughed. It wasn't a real laugh. It was hollow, empty.
"No." "Then why are you so angry with her? The moment Riker mentioned her, you tensed and changed. If she had something to do with this, we need to know. This is important, son."
I swung my legs off the bed and stood up to get away from him. I needed distance. I wasn't talking about Tallulah with him. For now, her secret would be her secret. It would be one that ruined me, ruined many lives.
"She's a bitch, a lying, manipulative bitch, that's all.
But she's never in her life touched weed or even a damn beer." My mother sighed. "Then why weren't you with her? Why did you have to spend time with that boy?" Hearing Hagen referred to as "that boy" felt wrong, like his life hadn't been important, like it hadn't made an impact. I loved my mother, but sometimes she only saw what affected her. "He was someone's son, big brother, and he was loved by fans all over the world. He was a friend that helped me get out of a funk and taught me that I could find life outside of football. He was crazy as hell, did insane shit, but he was fun. So don't call him that boy, Mom. He was Hagen. Today I was listening to him laugh, plan a prank with chickens, and then I saw his eyes empty. Void. The life gone, just like that. Just like that." I walked over to the window and put both palms flat on the cool glass. There was a life out there. It didn't stop because others died. It kept going, yet it wouldn't be the same. "I didn't mean he wasn't important. I was just saying Tallulah was a better influence." Shaking my head, I wondered what Mom would think if I told her Tallulah was making out with our literature teacher. What kind of influence was that?
"Mom, I've smoked weed before. I didn't know Hagen then. He didn't force it on me. I am a big boy. It was a choice I made. A mistake that I can't take back. It's done, and I've got to live with it. Hagen's family has to live with it.
Pastor Wise and his family have to live with it.
Nash, son, when did you start doing drugs? We've taught you better than that. I trusted you. We both did.
My mother was upset over me smoking weed. Great. I got her problem with it, but there was a bigger issue.
I don't think he's confessing to being an addict, babe, Dad said, trying to calm her down. He's just pointing out that Hagen isn't to blame for this. Nash is grown. He made his own choices, and he is owning up to that.
Mom let out a sob, and he went over to her, pulled her to his chest. My eyes met his, and I saw the disappointment there, but I also saw the relief. I was here, alive. It could have been me. They weren't saying it, but I knew they were thinking it. The door opened and the nurse walked in.
We've got your release papers. Looks like you have a crowd waiting on you out there.
She was trying to be happy and upbeat. That was her job, I guess. But I didn't want to go out and face any of them. I wanted to go home. Alone.
I don't want to deal with any of that, I told my dad. He nodded. I'll go clear them out.
But that's rude, my mother said, looking stressed.
Dad paused.
He needs time. He watched a friend die today. Give him some time. Being polite isn't what's important now.
Mom sniffled and nodded her head.
You're right, she agreed. Send them home, but thank them for coming.
Dad had been planning on just that, I had no doubt. But Mom needed to say it anyway. When he left, the nurse started to tell me how to take care of my stitches, but I didn't hear any of it. My thoughts were somewhere else.
Chapter 37. Everyone needs love, Tallulah. Tallulah. Riker was frowning as he walked into the waiting room. His gaze scanned the crowd until it landed on me. The frown grew deeper as he made his way toward where Mom and I were standing. I'd chosen a spot near the window, away from everyone else. I needed air. They were all packed together, going over what they had heard or seen. I didn't want to recap it. My stomach stayed in knots, and that made it worse.
Hey,
Riker said and shifted feet. He seemed uncomfortable. Is he okay? I asked, worried something had changed, wishing I could just see him to reassure myself he was alive.
Yeah, he's upset. He saw Hagen after he was gone. He saw it all. It's haunting him, messing with his head.
I'd never seen someone die before. I imagined it was the worst experience one could go through. Can I see him? I asked. Riker sighed, then shook his head.
No, he doesn't want to see you. He is angry with you. I don't know what went down with y'all before all this happened, but he's adamant that you leave.
I stood there confused and in shock. We'd argued a little about my helping Mr. Dace. It hadn't been a real fight. I hadn't left angry with him. Not that kind of angry. I was disappointed, but it hadn't made me not want to see him again.
I don't understand, I whispered.
Riker shrugged.
Like I said, not sure what happened, but he needs space and time. Can't force him to see you if he doesn't want to.
That was it? I was just supposed to leave? Go away and give him time? He didn't want to see me. That knowledge made my already fragile heart crumble. Today had been one I would never forget and would have nightmares about for years to come. Mr. Dace, then the car accident, then this? Let's go, honey. Mom's hand was on my arm. I realized her small touch was much needed support. I wanted to ball up on the floor and cry about so many things, but I couldn't. Not here. I nodded my head and let her begin to lead me away, but I stopped and turned to look back at Riker. I loved him, you know. I started to say more and stopped. That was something I hadn't truly admitted to myself.
I had claimed I'd been in love with him most of my life, but until I got to know him, I hadn't understood what really loving a guy meant. I did now. And even though his rejection was ripping me apart, I would forgive him. That's what love did. Riker's expression was pained. He didn't say more. I left then, walked away, not looking back, not searching for signs of Nash in the hallway. Mom led me outside where the sun still shined. The warmth of the afternoon was still heavy in the air. My mom's car was there, parked where we left it. Everything was the same, but it was also very different. When we were both inside, she reached over and squeezed my hand. He will regret this, but he is in pain right now. Riker's right. He needs space, and if he doesn't see how you could help him heal, then that's his loss. No, his loss was his friend. I was just a girl he was spending time with. Where I had fallen in love so easily, he hadn't. He had been my first kiss. I had been one of his many. I understood it. Yet it didn't make it hurt less. This was a growing pain. Nash had taught me a lot. More than I realized I needed to know. Being invisible and alone with my books had been easier. I had hurt when I was made fun of or left out, which was daily, but I'd never felt this sharp pain in my chest. It made it hard to breathe. The saying, "It is better to have loved and lost than to have never loved at all," didn't seem true to me. I disagreed. I thought it would be easier to not know how it felt for your heart to break. There was no going back. I knew now. He was the first boy I loved. I feel as if I will always love him, but this pain I will never forget. I understand now why you never married. When I was a little girl, I daydreamed about you meeting a man and how beautiful you would be as a bride. I'd get a daddy and we'd have a family photo on the wall with a dog, a large yellow lab. I hadn't thought of that dream in a long time. I'd outgrown it years ago. But I'm glad you didn't. I'm glad it was just us, that your heart was never broken, that you were happy the way we were. My mother sighed. I didn't look her way. I kept staring out the window as we drove back to Lawton. I knew when I said it she wouldn't like it, but it was true. She'd been smart to hide from love, to not try to find it. "Tallulah," she said, her voice heavy with what sounded like regret. "That's not how I want you to feel. I never married again because no man was the right one. I wasn't looking for just me, but you, too. If I were to fall in love with a man, he'd have to love you as his own. That would be the final piece to winning my heart. No man I dated was ever good enough to be your father. I had expectations, and not one man I dated met those. That's why I never married." She had hardly dated. I could remember only two men in the past she'd brought home to meet me. "You didn't look very hard then, 'cause you've only dated twice in my life." Mom laughed softly. I turned this time to look at her. I didn't know why that was funny. I used to feel sad for her, worried that she was lonely without a husband. She didn't take her eyes off the road. "Oh, sweetheart, only two men made the cut to get to meet you. Out of the many... many men I dated, the two you met I went out with several times and trusted that they just might possibly be good enough for you. They were good men or I'd never have brought them to meet you, but in the end I realized I wasn't 100% sure that they were what you needed, what we needed. My mom had dated many, many men. What? You dated how many men exactly?" I asked, still shocked by this news. She shrugged. "Gosh, I don't know. Friends would fix me up on blind dates. Those never went well. I met other men at work. I had many dates that never made it past the first one. Dating for me was like an interview. I think it's that way with all single moms. I wasn't out there to fill some romantic need. I was looking for a companion, someone that I'd fall in love with. Everyone needs love, Tallulah. I never knew. I always wondered how my beautiful, fun mother had remained single. I couldn't understand where all the men were, why they weren't sending her flowers and asking her out. All along, she'd been dating.
So the man who gave the sperm that created me didn't break you and destroy your belief in love after all? Because that was what I had always thought. My mom smiled softly. It was almost wistful. No, he didn't. He taught me that life was hard, not to trust easily, and to be on guard. I was so young and naive when I met him. Those were lessons I needed, and they were hard ones to learn. But I will always, forever be thankful that with those lessons, he left me with the most precious gift of my life. You. She had told me many times in my life that my biological father gave her me so she could never hate him. But I hated him enough for both of us. Not because he didn't want me, but because I didn't understand how any man could not want her.
Chapter 38. It's Time You Learned to Keep Living. Nash. Hagen's funeral was in L.A. My parents asked if I wanted to go. They'd fly out there with me. But I didn't. There was going to be media there, crying fans, people who never even knew him. It wasn't where I would say goodbye to him. Besides, I'd already done that as we'd been stuck in that car while they worked to get us out. The local news covered the funeral. I didn't watch it. I couldn't. I was having nightmares that would wake me up in a cold sweat. Then I'd lie awake, staring at the ceiling for hours, afraid if I closed my eyes I'd see him there. See his lifeless body. Hear the crunching metal. A week passed and I hadn't gone back to school. I also wouldn't accept visitors. Riker was the only one who got in the house, but he was family. I couldn't keep him out. He talked a lot about shit at school, trying to get me to talk, to think about something else. Tallulah had been on my mind a lot, too. I'd texted her a million times, then deleted it before I sent it. I missed her almost as much as I hated her. I wanted to ask Riker about her, about Mr. Dace, if he'd seen them together. But that would make him suspicious. He'd want to know why I was asking. I waited to see if he said anything about her. He didn't. Not once. He even told me about Blakely being suspended for being caught in the guy's restroom giving Hunter a blowjob in one of the stalls. Hunter had also been suspended, and a freshman would be playing quarterback at the game Friday night. They would lose. They all knew it, and I could tell Riker was pissed. Hunter wouldn't have it easy when he came back. The team would blame him for a long time over that loss. When Riker walked in my apartment over the garage at his normal time, as he did every evening, he announced, "Brett Darby has been sitting outside with Tallulah at lunch." The first he'd spoken of her. I didn't know how to react. I shrugged. I wanted to not care, but I did. Riker dropped my classwork on the large leather ottoman in front of the sofa, where I was currently sitting, staring at the television but not watching it. ESPN was making their weekend predictions for college football scores. I never agreed with them anyway. It wasn't Brett she wanted, it was fucking Coach D. Brett was stupid to think he could compete with a teacher, but then he didn't know that was his competition. "Brett's got a scholarship to UCLA for tennis. A full fucking ride. He's popular. Girls like him," Riker went on, as if I didn't know any of this. "How's the freshman doing at practice?" I asked, changing the subject to something I didn't give a shit about. "We're gonna get our asses handed to us," he replied. "Heard he asked her out Friday night after the game." He wasn't letting it go. Damn his fucking meddling. "Can't make a pass or what?" I asked, as if he hadn't said anything about Tallulah. "He's nervous, got a lot riding on his back. He can't even remember the plays, it's a disaster." "Work with him, calm him down. Y'all might still pull this off. Our defense is the best in the state." "Maybe. Wish Brady was in town. He'd be more help." "Call him, see if he can give you some pointers. Maybe he can talk to the kid and help him out." Riker nodded. "Good idea. He's got a big game Saturday. I'll text him to give me a call when he has a chance. The freshman was undefeated in junior high school, so it can't be he doesn't know how to play. He just needs work and confidence. Riker leaned forward and put his elbows on his knees, his gaze locked on me. The wrinkle between his brows meant he was about to say something I didn't want to hear. You work with him.
Fuck no, I replied immediately.
Why? You feel so confident he can do it. That is what he needs to hear. You go work with him, talk to him, coach him. He needs someone that thinks he can do this. I personally don't.
I wasn't a quarterback.
Neither am I, but you sure thought I could do it, Riker shot back at me. I had been trying to change the subject off of Tallulah, and now I had this. What the fuck was I going to do now?
I'm not in the right frame of mind to help anyone.
Riker continued to frown at me. I get that this was hard on you. It won't ever go away. But it's been a week, and it's time you learned to keep living. Stop hiding out in this place. They're buried. Mrs. Wise had a heart attack, Nash. Hagen didn't kill her. She hit y'all when she had the heart attack. Her head fell forward and laid on the horn. They know all this now. No one blames you. There's no reason to stay here, locked away from life.
I knew that the people who had witnessed the wreck said it looked like Mrs. Wise had lost control. Maybe if Hagen hadn't been high, he'd have been able to react and get out of the way. But he'd not seen her car come barreling out of control, and she slammed into us head on. I hadn't seen it either. I had been looking in his direction. My mind wasn't clear. It might not have saved Mrs. Wise, but there was a chance Hagen would be alive.
I'm coming back next week. I'll be there Monday.
My dad had already said I had to get back to life. He'd let me stay out long enough.
Come back tomorrow. Help me with this freshman.
Not sure I can help him, I replied. That was the truth.
It can't get any worse. At least we can say we tried. And it'll give you a distraction.
I stared at the television in front of me. This was all I had been doing for a week. I was tired of ESPN, but going back to school meant facing Tallulah. I already had to face the attention I was going to get from everyone else over the accident. Seeing her was going to make it harder.
Okay, I agreed. I had to go ahead and get it over with. Dreading it made it worse.
Riker grinned.
Really? You'll come back? Help me with Kip?
Who's Kip?
The freshman, he reminded me.
Oh, yeah. He leaned back on the sofa and kicked his feet up on the ottoman.
You got beers hidden up here?
I shook my head.
No, my parents are being strict with that shit. Mom is worried I have a drug problem.
He frowned.
And beer has something to do with that?
I shrugged.
In her eyes, it's all the same. I don't need it anyway. I need to drink more water.
I've got plenty of that in the fridge. He turned his head and looked at me.
You ever gonna tell me what she did?
We were back to Tallulah again.
No,
I said without pause. He sighed.
Fine, but I think you're making a mistake.
I didn't argue. Because he'd push for the reason why again, I just let it go. I knew my reasons.
Chapter 39. I don't smell bad, Tallulah. Tallulah. Mr. Dace had been absent the day before when I'd arrived to his room to do my teacher's assistant work. He always left a note with instructions for me. I was thankful he wasn't there. Being in his class was hard enough. I could feel him watching me, even when I wouldn't make eye contact with him. I'd almost told my mom about the kiss, but I hadn't because I was afraid of the outcome. I wanted to forget it, forget all he had said. Nash hadn't been back at school either, so I was living with the ache of losing him and not being sure why. After a week and not hearing from him, I had accepted that it was done. Between my broken heart and the secret I was hiding about Mr. Dace, I was a basket of emotions. I didn't want to leave my bedroom every day. Brett Darby wasn't helping things. He wouldn't leave me alone. I just wanted some silence during lunch, but he thought my sitting alone meant I needed company. He had started showing up in the classes we didn't have together to walk me to my next one. He talked a lot. He liked to talk about himself. I knew he had been playing tennis since he was 3. His favorite food was sushi. His middle name was Miller after his grandfather. He drank coffee every morning with 3 boiled eggs, and he wore a size 12 shoe. I could promise you he didn't know any of that about me. He didn't require I talk. He did the talking, and as long as it appeared I was listening, he was happy. That being the case, he had become harder to shake all week. My silence seemed to make him happy. In his head, I was enjoying his constant chatter. In reality, it was giving me an escape. At least when he was going on about his last tennis match or the next pair of shoes he was going to buy, I wasn't thinking about my problem with Mr. Dace or the pain left from Nash. Yesterday, Mr. Dace had asked in his note that I come in at 7:15 to work on the grading log on his computer. I didn't like coming in early. There was hardly anyone there, and the teachers that were there were in their rooms working. No students were in the building. It was too quiet. If Mr. Dace wasn't going to be there, I would be fine, but the idea I'd be alone with him in his room made me nervous. My hope that he would continue his absence when I was in his room was dashed as soon as I opened his door at exactly 7:15 and saw him sitting at his desk. A sick knot I'd become all too familiar with tightened in my gut. He smiled and waved to 2 cups of coffee on his desk, along with some bakery items from the coffee shop down the road. I recognized the cups.
"Come have some caffeine and sugar. I'll get the computer set up for you. It's still in my bag. Just got here myself."
His tone was cheery and friendly. As if he hadn't told me he loved me and kissed me, he almost sounded normal. Like a teacher who wasn't hitting on his student. Maybe he was going to act like it never happened, too.
"Okay, thanks," I replied, trying not to sound as nervous and uncomfortable as I was. I took the cup of coffee but didn't take anything to eat and sat at the desk in front of him, ignoring the chair he had pulled up to his desk directly to the left of him. I wasn't sitting that close to him. He looked over at me as he pulled his laptop out of his bag and gave me a crooked grin, as if he was teasing me or thought I was being silly.
"I don't smell bad, Tallulah," he said.
I was aware of that. He knew my reasons for sitting here. "This is a more comfortable spot. Gives us both plenty of room to work." He opened his laptop, then walked around the table with it in his hands. I scooted back in my seat, trying to get more distance from him as he placed it on the desk in front of me. He didn't seem to notice I wanted my personal space, or he didn't care.
"You know how this works."
His voice had dropped lower, as if he were talking quietly so no one heard us.
"The grades are in the basket on my desk."
I nodded, wishing he'd move away, not continue to linger there in my personal space. It had moved past inappropriate now. I started to say something to him and ask him to move when he turned his head and our faces were inches apart.
"I miss you,"
he said in a soft voice that made my spine tingle in a very bad way.
"Please move back," I said.
My voice meant to be stern, but my building fear made it waver nervously.
"I won't hurt you, Tallulah, you know that."
He leaned in like he was going to kiss me again, and I used my hands to shove him back. His chest was hard and he didn't budge.
"You're thinking too much about this. No one will know, it's okay."
He was whispering against my lips, and I jerked my head to the side to miss his mouth, and it landed on my cheek. He lingered there, and I closed my eyes as tears stung them. I hated this. I should have told my mother. I shouldn't have thought it was over. I made a huge mistake.
"I love you."
His voice, now sad, much like it had been the last time.
"He doesn't. He has not come back here. Another guy is moving in on you, and he's just letting him.
I'd never shut you out. I'd always be here for you. I fought back the scream building in my throat. If he'd move back, I could run to get away from this, run home and tell my mother, stay in my room alone. I didn't want this attention. This had never been what I was after, ever. A sound from in the hallway came just when I needed it to. Mr. Dace was gone and back on his side of the desk in the blink of an eye. He'd moved fast. I didn't wait to see what the noise was. I was just thankful for it. Jumping up, I grabbed my book bag and headed for the door.
Tallulah, don't go,
he called out. I didn't look back, but I did pause. I'm not coming back in here. You can tell the office whatever you want, but I'm no longer your teacher's aide. He sighed loudly.
I thought you were more mature than the other girls, but this is childish.
His soft, creepy voice had turned annoyed. Maybe because I'm 17, I replied, then opened the door. Freedom and safety were just in my reach. Stepping out of the room, I was so focused on getting free, I didn't see them, but I heard her.
There, Mr. Haswell,
Pam said loudly. I spun around to see Principal Haswell walking toward me with Pam right beside him looking horrified.
I saw them. She was touching him. They were kissing.
Hearing her say the words, the way the accusation sounded, as if I was part of what had just happened, sent my fear to a whole new level. What she was saying wasn't what happened.
Why are you in Mr. Dace's room so early, Tallulah?
The authority in his tone did little to calm me. I was now close to terrified.
I'm his teacher's aide. He asked me to come in early today.
My voice cracked. My mouth felt too dry. I tried to swallow and couldn't.
Is he in there?
Principal Haswell asked. I nodded.
Yes, sir.
He walked past me and went directly to the door. With one twist of the knob, he opened it and sent it swinging wide. I didn't go look. I was frozen in my spot. Pam stepped in front of me, and the smug look now on her face didn't surprise me.
You deserve this, you little whore, she whispered.
I didn't know what to say. There was an explanation for what she saw, but I didn't owe it to her. I had to tell it to Mr. Haswell, though. I just didn't know if he would believe me. It was my word against both Mr. Dace's and Pam's.
Why did you have a student in here with you alone at 7:20 in the morning?
Principal Haswell asked loudly.
She's my aide. She was logging grades into the system.
Principal Haswell turned to look at me.
Is that what you were doing?
He asked me. This was it. I had to make a choice. The truth or a lie.
Chapter 40. I was driving as if I were on the defensive line. Nash. Coming back today didn't mean I had to arrive on time. I was back even if it was 30 minutes after the late bell had rung. It wasn't that I hadn't gotten up early enough. It was that I had walked out to my Escalade about 5 times and turned around and come back inside. Every time I had gone out there and started to climb in the driver's seat, I'd fucking panicked. I hadn't driven since the morning of the accident. Even when I was riding in the car with my parents, I had been gripping the door handle so tightly, my knuckles turned white. I didn't like cars. The sounds, smells, and Hagen's lifeless face there beside me all came rushing back. When I had finally gotten in the driver's seat this morning and cranked it up, my chest was so tight with anxiety, I thought I was going to stop breathing. I'd fought through it, though. Forced my head to stop focusing on the wreck. After several deep breaths, I had calmed down enough to drive. I drove slow. So damn slow. I'd never driven like this before in my life, not even when I had been learning to drive. But I was on guard. Every car around me, I mentally prepared myself for if they lost control or made a wrong move. I was driving as if I were on the defensive line, ready to defend myself. Getting to school had taken much longer than necessary, but I had done it. I had driven. Alone. And I was alive. It was one of those things you never really thought about. You took it for granted. Driving a car was what you looked forward to from the time you were a little kid. When you got to finally drive, you thought your parents' concern was stupid. You knew what you were doing. You'd be fine. They needed to get over it. Nothing was going to happen to you until it did. Then everything changed. For me, I'd never get in a car and casually drive, touch my phone, or take my eyes off the road. For Hagen, he'd never get that chance. It was over. Sometimes lessons are learned the hard way. Other times, it isn't a lesson. It's a consequence. I had been spared. It had been a lesson for me. It seemed so fucking unfair that Hagen hadn't gotten that lesson, that his had been the end. I walked into the school and the hallway was quiet. That was expected with everyone in their first period class. I didn't want to face the office, but I couldn't get into class without a tardy slip. The door, always propped open with a heavy cast-iron lion, had the breeze blowing through from the large box fan covered in dust. I walked inside, enjoying the cool breeze as a relief from the early morning heat outside. Mrs. Murphy was whispering with a concerned frown in the corner of the office with Mrs. Donna, the other secretary. They didn't notice me. I waited at the counter for someone to look my way, but whatever they were talking about seemed to have them both very upset. I wasn't in a hurry to get to class anyway. I would get questions, more sympathy, and people would talk. I'd ignore it, but they would still be talking. It would be annoying. Just something I'd have to get over. At least I was alive to get over it. That was the one thought that kept coming back to me when I got annoyed or down the past week. Sure, this was a shit situation, but I was alive. It could have been me.
I just can't believe Dace. He's married. He has a baby girl.
Mrs. Murphy's whisper was a little too loud this time. I strained to hear more. I didn't like Dace, but I didn't want something to be wrong with his family, although he sure didn't act married. The man didn't even wear a ring.
I'm glad they're not making her go in the same room as him. She's a child, Mrs. Murphy continued. It's a shame. I am just horrified.
Mrs. Donna looked over then and saw me. She quickly hushed Mrs. Murphy by pointing in my direction. Mrs. Murphy's frown was still in place.
Oh, Nash, we are so glad you're back. I've been praying for you. Are you doing okay with it all?
I could say a lot of things at that moment, about her prayers and how I was doing, but instead I did what my mama had raised me to do. Be polite. She didn't want to know how I was really doing. She wanted to feel better about it all. She wanted her prayers to be working. So tonight, when she went to bed, she'd feel better about the tragedy and feel as if she did something to help. Thank you, ma'am, I replied. I'm doing better. She patted my hand.
Good. That was a terrible thing. A terrible, terrible thing. It's never easy to lose a young life.
I nodded my head and kept my mouth shut. I would much rather hear what Coach Dace had done, anything to get the attention off of me. She signed a tardy slip and handed it to me, but when I tried to take it, she didn't let go.
You were dating Tallulah, weren't you? I know I saw y'all together.
In all my 4 years of high school, Mrs. Murphy had never asked about my dating life. This was odd. Yes, ma'am, I replied. She'd also referred to me dating Tallulah in the past tense. Did that mean Tallulah was openly dating someone else? Was I going to be forced to watch her in the halls with another guy? Riker had mentioned Brett, but damn, that was fast. She gave me an apologetic frown.
Well, she's had a hard morning. Might need a kind word when she returns to school.
She's not here? I asked, needing more information than that. Mrs. Murphy's frown tightened. Then she chewed on her bottom lip.
She's here, but she won't be coming back to class.
might want to go check on her after school. I wasn't happy with Tallulah. She'd fucking messed with my head. I thought I hated her, but I realized I didn't because, at the moment, all I could be was concerned, worried. I needed more information. What's wrong? Where is she?
You need to go on to class, Nash, Mrs. Donna said, stepping forward and touching Mrs. Murphy's arm. Best it's not talked about.
Fuck that. She wasn't going to worry me, then tell me nothing. Is she okay? Did she get hurt? Mrs. Murphy looked like she wanted to say more, but she looked at Mrs. Donna, who was shaking her head no with a stern expression. Damn it.
Just go on to class, Mrs. Donna repeated. Why can't you tell me where she is? I pushed.
Mrs. Murphy opened her mouth to say something more when her eyes went to the door behind me.
I'm Charlotte Dace. Where is my husband? The woman demanded.
Mrs. Murphy walked around the counter.
Right this way, she told her.
Charlotte Dace was tall, thin, blonde, had larger lips than was normal, and walked like someone who was in one of those beauty pageants. She followed behind Mrs. Murphy. I watched them go until the door to the principal's office opened. Coach D stepped forward, and his eyes locked on his wife's. They were scared. He was scared.
You sorry piece of shit! She screamed.
Oh my, Mrs. Donna whispered. The door closed behind them as Charlotte Dace slammed it shut. Mrs. Murphy turned to look at me, and her eyes were round with anxiety. I didn't need an explanation anymore. I understood what was going on. Tallulah and Coach Dickhead had been caught.
Chapter 41. Men like him, they don't get better. Tallulah. I heard her scream. I was numb now, though. I'd faced it, taken the hard road instead of the easy. It would have been much less complicated to lie, ignore it. But I couldn't lie, not anymore. I was scared of him. It was time I dealt with all the repercussions and told the truth before he took it too far. My mother's hand squeezed mine as she held it tightly. The police officer called in was Officer Mike. I'd known him since I was a kid. He was Santa in the town square during the holidays. He gave out candy at the station on Halloween dressed as Superman. He was the one who always did the safety seminars in the school auditorium. Everyone knew Officer Mike. When he had walked in the counselor's office where my mother and I waited, I had been relieved, somewhat comforted.
I've had some records pulled on Dace, and it appears this isn't the first time. He left the last school after whispers began to circulate that he was having relations with one of his students. However, her parents never filed a complaint, and she never came forward.
He paused and lifted his gaze from the file in front of him.
It's a brave thing to do, Tallulah.
I didn't feel very brave at the moment. I was sick with fear. I didn't know what would happen next, if I was going to be expected to speak to a judge or go to court or face Mr. Dace again. I didn't want to, not now. Why didn't the school check into that before hiring him? My mother was upset. She was fighting back tears, and I knew controlling her emotions was difficult for her. Officer Mike shrugged.
I don't know. I will say it took some digging. With no actual complaint filed, it wasn't easily accessible, but I knew the right people to call to find out.
Mother pressed her fingers to her temple and closed her eyes. His wife, she said with a tight voice. What she must feel. She opened her eyes again. You said they had a child? How old is she?
3.
Jesus, my mother muttered. He's a sick man and he has a daughter. How would he feel if this happened with his daughter one day? Tallulah's just a child herself. Officer Mike gave a slow nod.
Yes, but men like Dace see a woman.
Mom shot up from her seat and began to pace the room. She's 17. He is 10 years older than her. She's naive. She's sweet and kind. She worries about her grades. All of this really had no relevance, but to my mother it did.
I've got everything, Tallulah,
Officer Mike asked me.
This is it, all of it? Or were there any other incidents you need to tell me about?
I shook my head. Just those two. The other times he had been friendly, maybe too friendly, but he had never done anything. Not until last week. Officer Mike stood.
I'll make sure he doesn't step foot in a school system again.
Good, my mother said, her eyes filling with tears again. With that, Officer Mike left the room. Mrs. Millie, the school counselor, stepped back inside. She looked from me to my mom. Then she stuck her glasses that were perched on her head back on her nose.
You're free to go now. I'm suggesting that Tallulah take a day to settle her nerves before returning to classes.
My mother nodded. Yes, she will. Thank you. Mrs. Millie turned to look at me.
I had been watching him. I'd seen his gaze going where it shouldn't. I know coming forward with this was hard, but it was for the best. Men like him, they don't get better.
I didn't know how to respond to that. Too much had happened. My head hurt, my chest ached, and I never wanted to walk back into this school again. Because I knew that although the adults believed me, not all the students would. My mother took my arm and held it tightly as if I needed her strength to walk. I wasn't falling apart. She might be, but I was just scared of all the things I would face now. I hadn't been damaged. I hadn't actually been frightened until this morning. Mr. Days had pushed too hard. The kiss had just startled me, made me uncomfortable, but today he'd seemed more unstable. I walked with my mother into the hallway. She was quiet, and so was I. From the moment I told Principal Haswell, Mr. Days has been making advances to me. Once before, a week ago, and today, I didn't want it, and I told him to stop. Everything changed. Pam had been sent to the office to wait to speak to the counselor before going to class. I had been taken to the assistant principal's office, while Mr. Days had been taken to Principal Haswell's office. My mother had arrived first. Principal Haswell had called her. Then Officer Mike. I didn't know what Mr. Days was claiming. I knew he wasn't telling the truth. It was going to be my word against his and possibly Pam's. She was the only witness. I already knew she wasn't going to side with me. She wanted me to have been in the wrong. The girls who loved him wouldn't want to believe he was wrong. The guys on the football team would be angry that I was accusing their coach of something that could have him fired. I knew all this when I told the truth, but I wasn't going to lie. I scanned the hallway to see if anyone was out here. I didn't want to face a student before I left. The rumors would be bad enough already. My gaze landed on the one person I wasn't expecting. The one I didn't want to see, yet I couldn't stop thinking about. The guy who had crushed me and would now hate me. Nash. He stood there silently in the hallway, his backpack over his shoulder. The Lawton Lions duffel bag he'd carried when he'd played football in his left hand. That was odd. Why would he be carrying his football gear around? I lifted my eyes back to meet his, and there was disgust there. Even hate. It felt ice cold and painful as it sank in that he knew, and he didn't believe the best. He assumed the worst. I'd hoped of all students he'd be the one to believe in me, to know I'd never do what I was going to be accused of. But even Nash thought I could do it. If he didn't believe me, no one would. How would I come back here and face this? Being made fun of because I was fat hadn't been easy, but I could accept it, live through it. But being accused of something like this, I just didn't know if I could. Ignore that, Mother whispered beside me. If only I could. If only I didn't care. If only I didn't love him.
Chapter 42. I was tired of being the center of attention. Nash. Riker met me outside my first period. I had heard her name whispered in class, but no one had said anything. We'd been working on a paper due next week. It was supposed to be silent, but I had no doubt one of the many whispering and looking my way would have told me about Tallulah and Dace.
"Wishing I hadn't pushed for you to come back today," he said. I shrugged. "Not my problem. Though I feel bad for his wife and kid." Riker's eyes went wide. "He's married with a kid?" I nodded. I wouldn't have told anyone else that, but Riker was different. He might as well have been my brother. He also didn't talk shit about people.
"Damn,"
he muttered. "I brought my practice shit. I'll be ready to help after school. Make sure that quarterback is ready." Riker smiled then. "I will." Having something to do with football helped me not keep thinking about Tallulah. "What time?" I began to ask what time he wanted to get started when I saw her locker. I paused. My stomach turned like I'd eaten something bad. In red lipstick, the word "slut" was written horizontally and in large letters covering the entire front of Tallulah's locker. I stared at it, unable to take another step. My head was telling me she deserved it, but the sickness in my stomach didn't agree. No one deserved that. It was cruel and vicious. Yes, she'd made a fucking mistake. There was a good chance she didn't know he was married and had a kid. Hell, I didn't know. Riker didn't know. Dace didn't advertise it. He was still a teacher and she'd been dating me. At least I thought we had something. I had been her cover. What I was feeling wasn't hate. It was disappointment and heartache. I'd thought she was different, special. But she wasn't. Truth was, most of the girls in this school would have fallen for him if he'd given them the chance. He was the hot teacher, and he had gone after Tallulah. That didn't make her a monster. It made her normal, average, the same. "I'll help you clean it," Riker said. I hadn't needed to say anything to him. He knew this was hard on me, but he wasn't going to let something like that slide by either. I doubt she knew he was married. He was older, smarter, and could easily manipulate a teenage girl. I'm not making excuses for her. I just thought I'd point out I don't think Tallulah should be the one at fault here. She'd done it. She'd hurt me. I could fault her for that. "I'll go see what the janitor has to get that off," I replied. I'd keep my thoughts to myself. They made me vulnerable. I didn't want that. No one needed to know how badly she'd hurt me. "I'll go get us an excuse for class," Riker said, then headed the other way. I started toward the janitor's room when Pam walked in front of me. "It was me who caught them," she announced smugly, as if she'd won an award. "Lucky you," I drawled and kept walking. "She wasn't good enough for you anyway. She's a slut. Who sleeps with a teacher anyway?" I paused. Her words pissed me off. I didn't want to think too deeply about why, but I knew it was because she was making accusations she had no proof of. I knew Tallulah well enough to know she wasn't having sex with the man. "Really? You caught them going at it?" I asked sarcastically. She shifted her feet and tilted her chin back as if she was important. "No, but I saw them touching, kissing." She said the last part as if it was all the proof we needed. "Last time I checked, you were well aware of the vast difference between kissing and sex, Pam. I wasn't aware kissing made someone a slut. If so, then this entire school is full of them, me included." She rolled her eyes. "That's not what I meant. The rest of the school wasn't kissing a married man and a teacher." I took a step toward her, my glare locked on her. "Did you know he was married?" I asked, already knowing the answer. She shrugged. "I didn't ask." "Did you look at his hand? Was he wearing a wedding band?" Her shrug this time was smaller, with less conviction. "He was still a teacher." I laughed then. The empty kind I was so fucking good at. "A teacher you threw yourself at every chance you got. But you weren't the only one who thought he was hot. I heard it daily." I waved my hand toward the packed hallway. I noticed we had drawn a crowd.
I bet you'd be hard-pressed to find one girl in this high school who didn't have a crush on Mr. Dace. Yet he wanted Tallulah, so that makes her a slut.